How many of you have seen the movie God's Not Dead? The first one, a lot of them. At the beginning of the movie, the pastor and his has a friend come over. They're going to go to a conference or something for their holidays. They only got a few days to go and do this thing. And so they're all excited. Hey, this is going to be great. And they go to go get their car, the pastor's car, and it don't work. Oh. And they're kind of frustrated, and they said, one of the pastors looks over at the other one and said, hey, God is good. You know, the pastor says, all the time. All the time, God is good. Okay, so God's good, so he'll provide. Okay, they check some things, try it again. It's just dead. You can't figure out what's going on. Okay, so they said, well, let's phone the rent-a-car. So the guy from Enterprise Rent-A-Car, Enterprise is really good. They'll bring the car right to you. You don't have to go to them. So that's kind of cool. So the guy gets there, brings them the car that they specified. They're going, hey, we got a cool car. We get to drive not my little thing, but we can drive this real cool thing. Gets there, guy gets out, turns it off, goes through the thing, and they get in and goes, he's dead. Really? Okay. And the Enterprise guy is going, it can't be dead. It was just service. Let me try it. He tries it. It starts. Oh, hey, cool. Good. Okay. Gets out. The guys fill out the paperwork and whatnot. They get in. Car's dead. What? And they're looking at each other and they're going, God is good. All the time. God is good. Well, when can we get another car? Tomorrow. Okay. I want to make sure, like, you're cutting into our holiday here. You're cutting into our time. Okay. We'll make sure it right. We'll do a check. We'll make sure it works. Get there, everything's right. This car works, guaranteed. Guess what happens? It doesn't work. And their window to get to where they're going is shutting down. So they go, oh, no, now what? Now what? God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. So some things come up in the course of the movie goes through and whatnot, and it comes to like most movies today, happy resolution anyway. And so at the end of the movie, the other pastor, missionary guy says, well, it was nice. We had some good stuff here and things happened. It was cool. God is good all the time. So, okay, good. So the main pastor gets in his car, and guess what? His car starts. So I thought it was really funny in that looking at our topic today on faithfulness, God is good. God is faithful all the time. And all the time, God is good. In our belief books, in our belief study this week, where our main verse is Proverbs 3:3, if you want to look at that. It says, do not let truth and mercy leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Or for some of us, our iPads. No. But then you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your path straight. In the dictionary, it talks about faith. Faithfulness has two basic meanings. The first is the complete confidence in a person or a plan. The second is a strong belief in a supernatural power or powers that control human destiny. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God is faithful. And we appreciate His faithfulness. We can rely on Him because we appreciate reliability in God, and we appreciate the reliability from others. As we see that, as that's replicated to us, as that's shown to us, we begin trying to be more reliable or faithful ourselves. Reliability gradually can become one of our own virtues or characteristics. Faithfulness is our hope and our responsibility. We're looking at this last part of believe as the do section, the section where those things that we believe become actions and part of who we are. It's the do, it's the virtues. If you live and you have the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits, it's fruit. It's all one thing. If you look at an apple or whatever, it's all, the fruit of the Spirit is all one thing. The virtues and things that is that fruit are the things we've been studying lately. It becomes, those things are the rind or the shell or the skin, and then there's the meaty part inside, and then there's the pods that hold the seeds, and then there's the seeds and the insides of the shell of the seeds, and so on and so forth. It's still an apple. And all those things help that apple to grow and to reproduce. The skin protects it from weather until it's ready to be ripe, then it falls to the ground, and then the pulp and the mass and meat inside helps to feed the seed, give nourishment and moisture and stuff so the seed can grow and propagate and dig down and grow roots and become stronger and become another apple tree, and the whole process starts again. That one fruit of the Spirit working in and through us becomes all we are and all we hope to be and all we experience. What is the ultimate goal of that fruit? Why we listen to it? Why we develop it? Why we try to be obedient? It's to bring us into a deeper personal relationship with God and with others. These things that we look at, these virtues, these promises, God has developed a promise in our life. Part of those promises is that fruit developing us, enabling us to thrive in this world, to thrive in others, sharing in it with others. It helps us to thrive at our jobs, through our trials and tribulations, and our blessings. It's a vertical relationship that has its fulfillment now and our future and for eternity. We know God is faithful. How? Well, we have the historical documents known as the Bible. It is both historical and alive today. Practically every major personality that we read about in the Bible is an example of God's faithfulness to God. We can think of Abraham, Moses, Caleb, Elijah, David, Hezekiah, Daniel, Paul, Timothy, Silas, even Enoch. Joshua, even those reliable witnesses, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all stories of faith and faithfulness. Did you know some interesting stats that there's over 8,735 examples of faithfulness in the Bible, whether it's from God or to God? There's 5,691 examples of being good friends. 5,334 relationships, about relationships. 8,000, over 8,000 of devotion or loyalty or reliability. Our Bible is there to give us strength to be faithful to God. It gives us those historical references. How many of you have one of these? They're God's promises for every need or God's promise book. Maybe some of you have one in the front of your Bible. If you don't, these are great to have to do a quick reference on. And I just wanted to talk about and read some of the promises that are in here on other ones. There we go. On faithfulness. What does God talk about in faithfulness in the promises that he's given out of one of the 8,000 references that we can get into there? Hate it when you lose what you're doing here. Give me a second. Sorry. Maybe it's this one again. God's faithfulness, 47. Therefore, know that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth his commandment, his covenant, and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Cool promise. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Seems like God hangs on to things for a long time. God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord. Yea, I have spoken it. I will not be shaken. No. Yep. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. And I will do so also. Promise book. Promises. God's promises. The things that he said he would be faithful to be and to do. Nice, huh? So what? Really, so what? These are all from a book written 2,000 years in the past. For the world, who cares? It's just a book. And those people who are outside those doors, living lives of quiet desperation, it's just a book. How do we make these books, this book, these promises, real in their lives? They don't really care about it. They don't even know it in reality. Yet they're floundering around looking for something or someone to help them, to love them, to give them hope. We're supposed to be a people of faithfulness, of faith. What does it mean to be faithful to most people today? You can use the word loyal, maybe instead of being faithful. What does it mean to them to be loyal? Well, loyal at work, maybe. Maybe too loyal to our friends, to our family, to our relationships, our marriages. But loyalty to God? Yeah, right. It's not on their radar. Why? Who cares if God is loyal to them? Well, people have small heads, I'll tell you. I don't. It all boils down to a personal belief. That is not necessarily here, but in hereafter. If you really don't believe in an afterlife and all the spiritual things that go with that, you really don't care. The average person thinks that when they die, they're either worm food, like my dad believes, or they think, hey, I'm a good enough person. I don't need to go to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. I don't need to go to church and do all these things. I don't need to help and do things. Think, well, I'll do it, but got to be something in it for me. I think they have the wrong information. Why do they have that wrong information? Well, they don't know God's word. They don't care about God's word. So how do we present and show God's faithfulness, that God can be there for them? If a person becomes a seeker, does their research, does their due diligence, and finds out that God has made us to be complete in Him forever, then those aspects of faithfulness become everything. It changes our perspective on how we live and what we deem worthy and how we treat others. Faithfulness is both vertical and horizontal. I had to look that up to make sure I was doing it right. That confused me. Throughout the Bible, we have a historical yet a living record of God's promise to us, and how throughout history God has been faithful to the promises that He made to us. And those promises are just as relevant and alive today. When we read God's word, it stands out. If you have any kind of belief system and you look and you read, God's word will stand out. God will meet you where you're at in your circumstance. They are a record of how God established His covenant and promise today. Basically, what was that covenant? What are those promises? I don't know how many of you have heard about the scarlet thread of redemption. God created us to have a relationship with Him. It says in Genesis that God walked in the garden during the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve. Can you imagine some of those conversations? God, why'd you make an avocado? It's kind of weird. It's got this big thing in the middle, hardly any meat, and really tough shell. Ah, but it's very good. You know, some of you may have referenced that from an old movie. So, God walked with Adam in the cool of the evening when the day's work was done and whatnot, and he just fellowshiped. How precious is that? I look forward to doing that when all this is gone. God created us to worship Him and to have a place and a job in creation. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and every creature that moves on the ground. He gave us purpose. He provided our needs. And yet, humanity turned away and said, good, but I want more. We turned away from God. Because God knows and knew that was going to happen, He provided a plan. His plan to bring us back. He made a promise, a covenant, and the Bible and these promises, these things are His way of showing, I am faithful. I created you. I want to have fellowship with you. I'm going to bring you back into that fellowship. Okay, so what does that have to do today? We got the historical stuff, and you said that, well, the Bible's still alive. God's still alive. God is still being faithful. How do we communicate that to others? I look over this room and I see a majority of us, probably a majority of us, have lived Christian lives for several years. Some of us are on the waning side of the hump, but we have, why are you still here? What has God done in your lives to show His faithfulness? We have the historical record, but for the majority of us, for the people out there, that doesn't mean so much. They want to hear, if you're excited about your faith, they want to know and to hear how God has been faithful in your life. And I want to spend a minute talking about and having you guys share with the rest of us instances and examples of how God has been faithful in your life. If you have anybody who wants to be first to volunteer before I point finger, anybody want to share how God has been faithful in your life? Okay, Carol? Else. Hundreds of years of experience in this room. Hundreds of years of God's faithfulness. Dick. One more. God is good. All the time? God is good. What gives you confidence in what you believe? What gives you confidence that it's relevant today? It's stories that we all have, that we all need to share. Outside that door, there are hungry people. As I said before, thousands of people living in lives of quiet desperation. They have no hope. They're struggling on their own. And we have the answer here. If we want our church to grow, if we want to see people we know experience God's faithfulness, we have to share it like we just did. That's why I wanted some of you to share. It's from testimonies, our personal stories, sharing our experiences that others and our from others and ourselves, hearing them gives them hope, gives them encouragement. It's also why we focus on our small groups. They have been very successful this year and have become special to many of us because it's there that we have a place that we can grow and we can share what God is doing in our lives. We show God our faithfulness by obeying Him and sharing those things. As we listen and follow the Holy Spirit's leading, God's heart becomes our heart. His mind becomes our mind. His will, our will. One can't be faithful to God if they do what they please. It's not about me. God actively looks for faithfulness in His servants. It's one of the qualities that He judges people. Jesus tried to help us understand God's great interest in our trustworthiness. He said, the Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Obviously, as you've heard a few times, that is the parable from the parable of the talents. One person was given many, a little bit less, the next person, tiny little bit from the next. And how they dealt with that, their master saw their faithfulness. They were good. They were to be good and faithful servants. When I was younger, I was struck with that verse. When I was at Canadian Bible College, learning how to be what I am today, which, well, I won't blame them for that, but there was a course there in evangelism that you could take as a secondary credit. It was called Evangelism Explosion. And they went out on Wednesday nights, and they studied lots and memory and scripture and stuff, and then they went out and they encountered people at malls and on the street, and if some of the churches had visitation cards, they could get involved in that and go and talk to those people. And to start and to get the conversation going over into spiritual things, they would ask the people a couple questions. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Do you know for sure that? Their response, depending on their response, it would be certain things. And a lot of people said, "Yeah, I know I'm going to go to heaven. I've been a good person, et cetera, et cetera." And they said, "Okay, so you're going up to heaven and you're standing before God, standing before His throne." And he asked, "If you did die tonight and you were to stand before God and He were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven?" A What would be your answer? There really is only one answer. Lots of different permutations and variables in that, but still, it's only one answer. Lord, you can let me in because I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by Christ, and I had a personal relationship with you. I tried to be faithful. I want to hear in my own life at the end of my days, I want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in." It's been my quest in my life to figure out what a faithful servant is, how I can become one. Throughout all my life, even when I got railroaded and into various other tracks and things like that, it was still there. And we went through some struggles and trials in our own lives, and quagmires that come up in everybody's life. That question was still there. How do I be a good and faithful steward? It's a long pursuit. And maybe, and probably, and I will tell you how that turns out when we're all together. Everyone, though, does not have the same opportunities in life. Nor do we all have the same abilities. But we all have something in common. We have the capacity to be faithful in our own condition. Yet all people, as we saw in the parable of the talents, not all people prove to be trustworthy when tested. Jesus was reminding us of that very sobering fact. The Lord's people are to be stewards. They control things, we control things in our own lives which belong to God, which is everything in our lives and about our person. One example of a stewardship is God especially is interested in the caring for and the feeding of his people. It's not a judgment that we, as man, has made. The Bible makes this judgment clear for us. It says, "Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mystery of God, being faithful, moreover, is required in stewards." That a man be found faithful. You women are excused. That people in general, we are to be faithful. We must be faithful. Are you growing in faithfulness? Are you growing in God? Are you building loyalty to God, to others? Faithfulness, what it means in our relationship to God and to others, it's living it out. It's being faithful in the little things. How does this work out in your life, in your daily life? How are you faithful, loyal at work? To your friends, to your co-workers, to your family, to your church, to your church family? Are you one of the, how many of us know somebody who just sort of hangs around and, yeah, I'm your friend, gets involved in things, yeah, until something better comes along? Well, have met and know people. The only reason they come around is because they want something. You never see them any other time. We don't want to be that kind of person. We want to be somebody who is seen as having integrity. I had a discussion with someone this morning. He says, "How come people always come to me for such and such and this and that and whatever? You know, I enjoy doing it, but I said to them, basically, you have proved to be faithful in those things. And people here know that. That's why you're there. And I said to him, just be thankful. You only got another 20 or 30 years left, and then God will do it. But that's being faithful. That's being loyal. That's having integrity. And it says something about character. Are you that person where you're at? Are you that person to your neighbors? You know, there, I was looking at some stuff from Rick Warren, and there was about 8 things that said, hey, this is just a little test that God could use to see what's going on in our lives. And there's various points. And one of them was, well, 2 things that struck out to me about that. One, he said, God is going to look at how you dealt with promises. If you make a promise as a person of Christ, whether it be a loan, a mortgage, yes, you can use my truck, whatever. It's that faithfulness. It's not about you. If people see that and they know that in your life, they can trust you. And you're speaking into them what being trustworthy is to them. You're displaying God's trustworthiness by being trustworthy and loyal and having integrity in your own life. Do you show up for work on time? Do you show up to church on time? Do you complete your goals? What about the honeydews? Good thing Alice isn't here. So, it's integrity. And a lot, you know, the thing that bugs me the most in business when they say, well, that was not right and whatnot. Yeah, but, you know, it's business. Bovine excrement. God expects us. You finally got that, eh? God expects us to be faithful in everything. Our integrity matters because it reflects Him. And times in my own personal business, people want me to compromise my integrity, and I lose business because I don't. It does not bother me. We know there are times when being faithful is tough and somewhat beyond us. But that's what these promises are about. We can have faith and trust God that these things are going to be there, that God's going to be there. He proves it to us as we share to our neighbors and to our friends God's faithfulness and the stories and the ways that He acts in our life. That's how they know. That's how it becomes relevant to them. That's how these promises, 2,000 years old, are alive today. They're relevant. Why? Because you make them relevant. And if you don't share those things with people, you're in disobedience. And I've heard many things, well, I did that in the past, it's my time, I'm retired. That bull stuff again. God does not ask us ever to quit, ever not stop being who He wants us to be. He has given each and every one of us here a task, a commission. We don't have a choice. If we want to stand before Him and say, why should I let you in? That's between you and Him. But He has to be faithful. Are we being faithful? Sorry, got a little excited here. Got preaching it. No. Okay, Britt, you want to get that video ready? Faithfulness can be seen and perceived in 2 ways. It's temporary now, what we do now, how we go through it, what we have to endure. But it's also eternal. We have to keep our mind on it's just temporary, this life. We want to share God's faithfulness. We've seen that faithfulness is a fruit of our living, growing, and listening to God. If the Holy Spirit resides in us and we listen and obey, we grow in faithfulness and loyalty to God and to others. God proves His faithfulness to us by historical reference and stories and by our own experience and stories, and our own reliance on Him. It is me as a faithful servant that lives this out now, how I act with others at home, at church, here, in my neighborhood, and in my world. God made the covenant. He expects us to be faithful. He is. No matter what the world throws at us, no matter how God, how good or terrible our own personal life unfolds, He is faithful. We must be faithful to Him and others if we are called to a life as His servants. If He remains in you, how much do you remain in Him? God is good.